Welcome back, you guys. Episode 54 of Zero Carb Journal. I'm Matt, as always. Welcome back. Nice to see you guys. Hope you had a great week and are ready for the holidays if you're here in the States or wherever you are, if you're celebrating this week. And hi, good morning. So, hey, it's early. It's 6:30. Not even quite. And it is pouring rain out there. Maybe you can hear it. Probably. You can hear the drip that drips through my roof, ceiling, onto my wood stove, probably. Making that little tss behind me every now and then. I gotta get up on the roof. We had a terrible couple weeks of wind, and I think my chimney got wiggled around, and I've got a little leak going. Nothing bad. Just a tiny little one. Drips right onto the hot top of the stove, so it dries itself off. Pretty convenient. But yeah, how are you guys? I'm doing great, you guys. It's good to see you. Great week. Good week. Rough couple weeks. Lot of wind. Lot of storms. As you guys know, last week I was without power for 4 days at a stretch, and then on and off. We actually ended up with the whole county being out of power last Friday night through most of the weekend for most folks. I'm kind of out in the outskirts, so I end up having to wait a few more days usually for power. But yeah, the whole county. So it was quite an event, I guess. The whole peninsula, this whole part of the country was just dark. We lost a main power transmission line. And, yeah, so it's been stormy and rainy, and despite that, I have had a great week. I got actually into the water. I went surfing a couple times this week, I've got the bug, huh? So I've been going to the beach and taking Waylon for walks down there pretty regularly. It's really interesting right now. You know, my beach is one where, the federal government removed two dams from the river. In the last 2 or 3 years, you know, the largest dam removal project in the world, really, the Elwha River dams. And so it's been really, really, really interesting to go watch the beach rebuild itself over the last couple years. They've been out for 2 years now, so we've still got just a ton of sediment and a ton of change going on. And when the big rains of winter come and the high tides, king tides in December, all of this stuff combines to mean the beach is changing day to day. So I go down there all the time, and I've just been just so fascinated and so excited about the river being free again and not dammed, and getting to watch it, you know, rebuild itself back to its natural form that no one's seen around here for over 100 years. So it's really exciting. So I go down there all the time. And of course, the surf, being a surfer down there, it makes it even more fun because it changes all the time. And you know, it goes from being a great surf break to being completely wrecked for months on end. So for most folks, they get pretty bitter. but I'm really enjoying the process of watching it change and watching the surf break change and just seeing it morph. You know, I've been surfing down there for, gosh, over 30 years now, and so I've seen it go through a lot of phases, but it was so different when the river was dammed. It was a cobblestone beach, all rocks, and now it's all sand and growing and changing and moving. So anyways, I've been down there spending time and enjoying this process of the earth rebuilding herself from damage, just like I'm going through. So it's been sort of fun to watch that process, and yeah, I went down there a couple times this week and found some waves, and so got in the water, and that was great. Felt wonderful. I've been feeling really good about getting back into surfing and feeling like that's an important part of me again. I'm loving it, so that made me feel good. And I had quite a bit of work this week and last week, and I've got a couple big projects cooking, and I had some exciting phone calls and meetings and things like that with some pending projects. So a lot of stuff cooking. I'm going to be busy in the spring for sure, which is great. And yeah, so Robin, I wanted to comment on your comment. That's exactly right. You know, that's your comment about maybe that, you know, maybe a seasonal type existence for a little while, coming back here and working on boats, making hay while the sun shines when the busy season is on me here, and then taking, you know, building up my my finances and going out on the road when I have the free time. And I think, you know, that's how I always used to live as a young man. That's what I always did. And I'm realizing now that I've really set myself up here now, to be able to do that really well. You know, I'm living, with a really low overhead. There's people in the house. So the house is well taken care of, and I have great means of making a living up here. I'm blessed to be fortunate with great friends who appreciate what I can do for them and pay me well. And it's on my schedule and comes and goes just like I like it. I'm not real good at the daily grind, as it were, over the long haul. So I don't know. That seems like, at least for now, that's kind of tentatively my plan moving forward. I'm definitely going to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of me now. So I'm definitely here working for the next few months. And I think, you know, I've been kicking around all these ideas. Like, do I want to, you know, try getting a job somewhere else or move somewhere else? You know, not that I would sell this place, but just sort of go and start. And I'm still thinking about those things, but I think for now, I definitely don't need to think that quickly moving ahead. I mean, I've got a great means to make a living here, and then I can go and be on the road and feel like I'm somewhere else. So I think I'm just going to leave that alone for now and continue moving down my path here of continuing to grow personally and make things better for myself here, this situation, and make things more concrete and hopefully just have more and more ability to be free in the future and figure out, yeah, whatever's next. I'm not making a big move next, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't think I thought I was, but I was excited about thinking about maybe making some larger changes, but I think at least for the next 6 months or a year, I think they'll probably stay mostly the same. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. So let's see. Let's talk about Zero Carb, you guys. Gosh, I got to tell you, reading, I've had a little more time this week to kind of start getting caught up. I've really been absent online, I should say, speaking of Zero Carb, which isn't speaking of Zero Carb, but that's, you know, where we interact. And I really, I've been so busy with work that I spend a lot of time on the computer doing design work. And so I've been not very active on the computer for recreational time. So I haven't been keeping up on Twitter or YouTube, and I apologize, but I'm not super in the loop right now. So I've been getting a little bit more caught up, but I still don't really know too much what's going on out there. I will say I'm continuing to read people's stories, testimonials, and hear, you know, something comes across my path there on YouTube, watching a video from someone who just changed over, and I'm still just so incredibly moved and motivated by all of the success stories. And more so, I do check in on the Crohn's disease forums and places like that. And more so, my heart breaks every time I read the stories of the people who have been sick for so long and are sure that diet has nothing to do with it, you know, I mean, it's so hard because this is such a different way of eating, and it is difficult to get here, and especially for folks like me who are sick. You know, I was, when I made my transition to zero carb, you know, I made myself sicker. So there's a point there where you kind of have to, you know, make it across the no man's land there, and I just feel so, I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe it isn't going to help them, but I feel like if people had someone to hold their hand for that first month and guide them along it and help them and tell them that they're going to, you know, that they're going to experience some benefits, that a lot of more folks would make it. Anyways, the main point of that, you guys, is I read the stories from other people suffering from Crohn's or IBD or any number of things. And gosh, it just breaks my heart that this information isn't more readily available. And so it just motivates me to keep sharing. but at the same time, I know we're making a dent. You hear more, you see zero carb and carnivore come up more and more in the conversations regarding gastrointestinal issues with people, and it's starting to become a little bit more recognized. Still, you know, obviously the majority of people are going to point and laugh and not get it at first. But the word's getting out, so we're making a difference, and that means a lot to me. So from a zero carb standpoint, I've been having a great week. You know, I'm stable, you guys. It's so weird. It's amazing, isn't it? 2 years now, and still such profound improvement pretty regularly. Now, I have been pretty stable and pretty steady now for a few months, but it kind of feels like I only just got here. And I mean, I'm continuing to improve in the sense that, you know, I now I know something I did this week. I completely was going to say have completely stopped weighing myself or caring much about, you know, struggling to achieve a body composition. I still do care about body composition, but it just seems like naturally I am pleased with the way things are going. I did get on my scale this week for the first time since August. I pulled my scale out just to see where I was. Isn't it funny? I'm exactly like to the pound where I was when I put it away. And I've gone from, you know, weeks of eating, feeling like I'm eating so much and then eating not very much. And yeah, it just seems like my body has really found its natural balance. And so that feels awesome. Diet standpoint, you know, I've just been eating my ground beef and lamb and my steak, and I'm excited to show you guys about my steak and my steak bacon. I have talked about it a bit. I put some photos up on Twitter in the last, you know, year or whatever, once or twice. But I guess I haven't really conveyed it very well, and it is pretty unique, I guess. I guess I don't see too many other people do it. So I'm excited to show it to you guys. It is my favorite. And more so as time goes on, I'm just loving it. So I'm going to go down to my folks' place for Christmas, and I think I'm going to go buy a big roast and eat a bunch of it for the next few days. Cause it's really my favorite. It is expensive. Even here, my cheap store, you know, I can get a ribeye right now. They had it for $3.99 last week for the roasts, $4.99 for boneless steaks, if you can believe that. I know it's so inexpensive. It is pretty low quality. I can tell by the, you know, the flavors. It's not off. It's fine, but it's definitely not the best ribeye at $4 a pound. What do you expect? But anyways, they've had that there, and so I've been eating quite a bit of it. And yeah, it's so fatty, and I really do feel good eating it. And I really enjoy it. And it's so funny because every time now and then I get a piece that I cut too thick and I can't quite make my bacon, and I eat it like ribeye, and I really don't like steak, you guys. It's not like I don't crave it. It's the least, my least favorite of all the beef cuts. I'd much rather have ribs or brisket or ground beef. Isn't that funny? I read so many, you know, everyone else really craves and loves the steak, and they especially love it rare. And boy, I really not only don't care for it, but it doesn't make me feel very good. So, did you hear that little Waylon's whining back there? I think we got some winter rodent visitors. Waylon's been real active at night, chasing mice around. So, I'll have to be more vigilant. You know, one thing neat about zero carb, you guys, very little pests. I have noticed this year that I've had no rodent issues, which when I first moved up here was an issue. And obviously I said no, but now sounds like he's found a little buddy over there, but yeah, there's nothing for them to eat. Well, not nothing, but you know, there's no crumbs and crackers and grains and boxes of cereal or whatever. So it's pretty interesting. I've noticed a definite absence of pests because of the absence of food. So from zero carb, that's pretty neat. You know, I'm just going to bounce all over the place. I'm just going to chat at you guys this morning. Speaking of zero carb and, neat things and simplicity, you know, one thing about my road trip that I didn't talk about was how great it was. You know, I talked about eating at fast food and restaurants and how I was able to, you know, stay fed and satisfied eating that way. But what I didn't talk about was how great it was to really have no need at all, like no desire, no, I didn't miss it. There was no use for me in my car at all to have a cooler, you know, cooking stuff, utensils or cleanup stuff. I had thought about bringing a small grill, And it didn't work out. And in hindsight, I'm so glad that I didn't, because I would have been spending tons of time, you know, finding a store and shopping and then finding a place to cook. And in California, a lot of the parks, you can't bring out a barbecue. And so bring out a barbecue and cook. And then I would have raw meat mess and utensils. And I mean, it's not that it's not doable, and it totally is, but those In-N-Out burgers at 89 cents, I was spending $8 a meal, $10 a meal at most, which is about how much I'd spend on ground beef at, you know, cheapest for myself. I'd usually spend $6 a pound, you know, $6 on 2 pounds for a meal anyways. So not a big difference there. And gosh, the convenience of not having all that stuff. I mean, I just eliminated so much stuff that I needed to bring with me. I mean, it goes in my real life too, not just when I'm traveling, but you know, I've talked often about how much stuff I got rid of in my kitchen, but in the van traveling, you know, not needing that cooler or cooking or prep utensils, it was awesome. So, you know, when I got home, I started thinking about all the things I brought, some things I didn't need. So of course I started rethinking about my van situation and what I needed and what I don't need. And zero carb just made it so simple, you guys. And I've been paying attention and watching other people, you know, get ready for van trips and setting up their campers and things. And the kitchen and the cooking and the, it's a huge part of their planning and a huge space, you know, requirement. So that was really cool. Like to get home and look back and go, God, I didn't need any of it. I didn't miss any of it. Wouldn't have wanted any of it. And how much space did I save? How much money? Yeah, it was just really great. Really neat zero carb perspective and benefit. And so, yeah, that does translate to real life. And I was just sort of commenting on it here because I've noticed it translates to not only, you know, more space and less gear and less stuff in the kitchen, but less mess and less pests, less vermin. So yeah, pretty cool overall. You know, that leads into that whole simple life deal that I've been really pursuing for a while now in my life. And zero carb, what an unbelievable dovetail into a simple life close to the land. You know, I've been focused on this type of life for a long time, but I had no idea. You know, you would never guess, right? You would never know eating only meat. I mean, it is such a profound, fundamental basis for this type of lifestyle. And really, it makes me look back over history and go, oh, that's how they did it. That's how it was all possible. Because talked about it before, but I spent, you know, over a decade here on the farm, doing my best to live like a homesteader pioneer type life, you know, trying to raise all my own food. And I talk about this all the time, raising all my own grains and potatoes and canning and, you know, calculating my needs for a year. And I mean, literally trying not to spend a penny at the store, trying to provide all my own food and really survive. And it was so difficult with a mixed diet, with a balanced, unbalanced, I like to call it now, diet including plants is unbalanced because of the anti-nutrients. But at any rate, trying to eat that type of diet was so difficult, so much work, so hard to provide all my own calories, so complicated, so many tools, so much processing of all the stuff, you know, grinding, you know, drying just wheat, just one example, wheat, drying that, you know, threshing and winnowing and grinding, all of that just to get it into storage. The fruit, you know, I would have to make applesauce or can or freeze, potatoes and things like that. I had a root cellar, apples and potatoes and onions. And I mean, and prepping the things for the root cellar, boxing and cleaning and hanging the onions up in the netting. And I mean, so much work and so much stuff and so much gear. This life is so much simpler. My life has become exponentially simpler, and it spreads out. It just goes into all aspects of your life. You know, I no longer want to have anything to do with any process that where I need a bunch of gear. Yeah, it's just I could go on and on, so I'll try and stop because I'll just keep rambling. But it's been really profound, and it really was stark when I was in the van. You know how easy that was. I was like, wow, life just got so easy and pretty neat, pretty neat. So I've been really enjoying seeing some of my old permaculture friends come across the zero carb way of eating these days. I used to participate heavily in permaculture forums, and that's a big part of being interested in that lifestyle of simplicity and providing all my own food and finding ways to live, in harmony with the land and all that. Of course, I still have all those same goals and values, but I don't participate much because. Yeah, it's really interesting actually. There's a really great perspective that one of the folks who's a good friend of mine in the permaculture world has espoused, and he talks about it's the idea that people, whether we're talking about people in the context of any pursuit or knowledge base or whatever, are at all different levels, right? And the idea that someone who's maybe at like level two, looking forward to maybe someone who's at level six, really can't comprehend what people at level six are doing, and really often will look at that and just go, that's crazy. Those people don't know what they're doing. Like, if we talk about in his examples, the world of permaculture, you've got people who are just getting into gardening, and they're just starting to garden, and they're just learning that maybe they don't want to use Roundup. I mean, this is all pretty dated stuff. I'm not going to give you the most current examples. So, this is all stuff that now most people are aware of. But, 10 years ago or so, everyone, would have maybe been using Roundup to keep their garden free of weeds. And then, at some point, someone who's moving down that path gets to level two or three, and they say, oh, I'm going to stop using Roundup and use my own, homemade weed killers or whatever. And someone at level six might be, using no pesticides or weed killers at all, and using, natural predator, prey situations to help control pests, or planting polycultures, of beneficial, neighbors. Anyways, using more advanced techniques that might just seem out there and crazy to the person at level one in their, suburban garden, just getting started and learning about some of those techniques. And a, really interesting thing for me to witness has been the feeling of that in zero carb. Because, and I'm sure many of you guys know this, have had this experience now, you talk to people who are becoming interested in health or who have been interested in their health. And they're just starting to scratch the surface of understanding that maybe grains don't make them feel as well as they do when they don't eat them, or even though, or maybe they're just starting to scratch the surface of the idea that maybe there is reasons to, avoid grains for people who aren't celiac. That's sort of the step one, right? People will say only celiac should avoid wheat. There's no scientific basis for dodging, for not eating grains. And then, level two is maybe they've taken a week and tried it for themselves and been like, I did kind of feel a little better, maybe there is something to it. And but then they look way up and they go, there's people who don't eat any plants at all. They're just crazy. And so, and of course, it goes back to when I first started Zero Carb, and Ellen Arena said something to me about perspective and how I realized her perspective was one of having been where I'd been and looking back, but my perspective was one of standing on a road I'd never been down and trying to see ahead around the corner, and I couldn't see up there. And so it's one thing that's really interesting about zero carb is, we've really all, we have the perspective that most of the other folks looking in on us have. At least for me, I've been vegetarian. I've been, where everyone else has been. I used to believe that avoiding wheat and grains was stupid, and I totally was only for sick people. And I mean, I've been there, and so I have that perspective. And I bring this up because I've been, sharing a little bit of my story with some of my old permaculture friends, and it's fun to go back and read the comments on some of the forums there, because of course they're going to be, strongly biased towards vegan and vegetarianism because of the paradigm, just as I was. And I know, buddy. There's a mouse over there. He's really upset about that. And so a lot of the comments come from people who, you know, their perspective is one of, you know, for many of them, actually, they're only just getting there. So they're only like a lot of one of the comments recently was like someone who said he had just read How Not to Die and was, you know, really believed that maybe that was the key to health. And, you know, I don't comment because you can't. I mean, you just, people need to go through that process on their own. If it was a close friend, we could have that conversation. I could say, well, you know, I've been there and I think you'll learn. But I wasn't going to, you know, you can't come out and just say those things cold in an internet conversation. It just sounds dismissive. So at any rate, interesting to see. And it's hard to explain to those people, you know, they would, it would fall on deaf ears to say, well, you know, welcome to the beginning of the journey here. Have fun, you know, get started on that journey and follow Dr. Greger for a while, you know, eat some vegetarian stuff and see how you go and hopefully, but stay aware and hopefully keep trying stuff. But yeah, very interesting, isn't it? Those levels of where we all are on the path and the perspective that one has, being able to look back or look forward. And of course, I know I'm not, don't have the same perspective. They haven't been everywhere they have, but I do know that that it wasn't until, you know, fairly recently that I woke up and really started paying attention to diet and nutrition. And even though I had been a vegetarian and lived with vegetarians and we talked, had many nutrition conversations, it wasn't until I, you know, really looked under the hood here in the last 5 years that I started to move beyond sort of those first levels. So really interesting to see how that pans out in zero carb and to know that we have a very unique perspective and to expect anyone else to be able to get it is quite a stretch. So I'm always one really impressed when people do approach us with an open mind and do have some level of understanding. And two, I just know that it's going to take some time and that there's no way for those folks to have that perspective. But one of the best things we can do is share not just not our perspective, but the idea that there is a different perspective and that it'll take some time to get there and realize it because it's hard to see what it's like from here. It's impossible to see what it's like from here for anyone who hasn't been here. So yeah. Well, I sure went off on a tangent there. All right, guys. Well, that's probably enough. It's getting close to 7. I've probably been talking to you for half an hour or so. So I think I'm going to wrap it up. Hey, it's Christmas week, you guys. It's holiday week. So I am going to head out of town here. I'm going to go visit my family. Really looking forward to it. And I'm going to cook a bunch of steakin', and hang out with my loved ones. And I hope you guys are going to do the same or something along those lines. You don't need to eat steak. But I sure hope you guys are going to be surrounded by people you love this holiday, if it's a holiday for you. And I've got some good stuff cooking in the for the new year. Looking forward and excited. Talking too fast. I'm looking forward and I am excited about showing you guys my steak. I'll get that going probably next week. So we'll have that to look forward to. And we got the new year coming up. Pretty exciting. I'm sure I'll have another wild and crazy New Year's Eve here, home alone, as I've done for a few years now. Maybe I'll change that up this year. We'll see. But, anyways, I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday with your family, if that's what you do. Hope you have a wonderful week, if that's not what you're doing. And, you know, I know it can be tough. Holiday times, meals with families, and things like that. So stay strong. Know that you feel better and you're better company and you're better to your family when you're feeling good and positive and not depressed and irritated and with a crap mood from carbs. It's not worth it. That one Christmas cookie is not worth it. So I'm going to go help my buddy chase this mouse around, I guess. And then I'm going to go for a drive. So I will check in with you guys next week. And I do. I hope you guys have just the most wonderful holiday and a amazing week. And as always, you guys, gosh, thank you so much for listening and watching. You make a real difference to me in my life every week. week in and week out, reading your comments and sharing my story. So thank you so much. I hope that you guys are feeling great and you stay the course and you have just a wonderful, wonderful holiday week. And I will see you guys next week in time for 2019. Okay. Hope you have a great day, great week, and I will see you next time. Thanks for watching. See ya.